O Lord God, are the wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou bidst not. Mine ears hast thou opened, burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, Lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, the law is written in my heart. I have righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips. Lord, thou knowest. Lord, bless you. You may be seated. Lord, Beth, for reading his word. And boy, it's good to be in revival services again tonight. And Brother Patterson, you come and preach to us tonight. What God's laid on your heart.
Well, good evening. Well, that's better than last night, amen. Praise the Lord. Open your Bibles up to the book of 2 Kings with me tonight. The book of 2 Kings in chapter 13. 2 Kings in chapter 13. My wife again said to tell you hello. And of course, I used to say she's sorry she can't be here, but she's sort of glad she's not with me. Amen. That she gets a chance to rest for once. Amen. Instead of wearing her out. I made her a drug addict, preacher. I drug her all across this country from one end to the other. And even out of the country a couple of times. And boy, I tell you, God's been good to us. Amen. All these years. Well, 2 Kings in chapter 13. If you'd stand with me for a moment as we read, I want to look at two verses here. Two verses in the book of 2 Kings. I'm going to begin reading in verse 20 of 2 Kings in chapter 13. Verse 20, 2 Kings chapter 13 and verse 20. And Elisha died, and they buried him. And the band of Moabites invaded the land at the coming in of the year, or that would be the spring when the harvest was ready. They come in, they tear it apart and take what they wanted. And it came to pass, as they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men, and they cast a man into the sepulchre of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet. Now, Father, thank you for your word. I pray and thank you, Father, for it tonight. And I ask you to use it to speak to our hearts and challenge us again, Father, tonight as we look at some scriptures to help us, Father. And Father, if someone's not saved or would hear even the earshot of this front door that's open, Father, outside and hear the gospel, they might come to Jesus Christ tonight, Father. And we give you the praise and thanks now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. As I begin this evening, I'd like to preach a message to you that I've simply entitled, Let Your Life Count. Let Your Life Count. This text tonight I'm going to use is more of a jump-off text. You know, Elisha was quite a man, amen. He I don't know how many miracles he did, but I think, Pastor, if we added them up, it was more than Elijah did, or at least recorded, you know. I might be wrong about that, but I know there was a lot that he did.
Twice as many
that he did. More than Elisha, you know. Well, I tell you, God blessed Elisha, did he not? He used him mightily to accomplish his work. And Elisha never backed down. You remember when the king was at the king of Syria sent the money, sent Naaman with the money to go to the king of Israel, you know. And then he said, heal me. And he said, well, what am I? He rent his clothes. And Elisha hears about it. He says, send him to me. And he goes to Elisha and he says, tells the servant, you go and tell him to dip seven times, you know, in the water down there, and the nasty water he thought it was, and did not want to do it. And finally goes and gets himself healed. But in the process, he wanted to give Elisha some money. He wanted to give Elisha the prophet that he was going to give to the king. And Elisha said, no, I'm not going to, it's not for me. I don't do this for that, you know. Elisha stood his ground, but he was a man. And Elisha was a man that lived to please the Lord. And then, you know what happens. And, of course, Elisha's servant, then takes off after him, you know, and Naaman, and he gets what, two changes of garments and what, a talent of silver or something. I can't remember now. I haven't, didn't read it this morning that far, but I know that he gained something, and then he goes back to Elijah, and Elijah knew this. Elijah didn't see him do it, but boy, God impressed on Elijah's heart, but that man's wicked. Look what he did. And Elisha says, you know, now what Naaman had, you're going to have the same thing. Now you've got the leprosy that Naaman had, and he's clean and you're not. Boy, he said, walk out right then. And walked out of Elisha's house as white as snow, it says, because he contracted that leprosy right at that moment. Not something that was coming on him, but something that came upon him right then and there. In Elisha's life, and even in his death, we would see the power of God, amen, in his life and in his death. Well, number one, we need to live to please the Lord. Amen. If you're taking notes, write this thought down. We need to live to please the Lord, not the flesh, not someone else. Some people live to please others. They live to please their boss. They live to please their husband. They live to please their wife and their children, their church. But if you live to please God, then I believe everything else will fall in order and you'll be pleasing to those others who I just mentioned. But we need to live to please the Lord and the Lord only to start with, amen. Too many of us get the idea that we need to please this person, or we need to please the pastor, or we need to please this person, we need to please this person over here, or please somebody else in the church. And what you need to do is please the Lord. By pleasing the Lord, you please the pastor, amen. By pleasing the Lord, you please your husband. By pleasing the Lord, you please your wife. By pleasing the Lord, amen. My wife's always told me, I'll follow you anywhere as long as the Lord is the one that's directing. But if I think he ain't directing, I ain't going anywhere, amen. Praise the Lord, she's followed me 46 years, hallelujah. I thank God for that, amen. Some people do all that, but if they would live just to please God, then everything else, I believe, would work out. Everything else would come into place. Well, we need to please, number one, under live to please the Lord, or A, however you want to put it now. We need to please the Lord with our ways, or with your ways. I need to please Him with my ways. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 7, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Boy, isn't that something? How many of you have had enemies? Amen. How many of you had enemies as Christians? I have. I've had some enemies, you know. But he said, if I live to please the Lord, you know what it means by that, Brother Dave, is I'm not going to be antagonistic towards them when they're antagonistic towards me. So there's going to be some peace that's going to be brought there. Oh, it might not be what I want necessarily. It'll be what God wants. And there's not going to be a continual battle over and over and over and over. Just be kind. Keep on heaping hot coals upon their head, amen. And, they'll get mad at you. They might hate you for a long time. But I'll guarantee you this, as soon as they get in trouble, you know who they're going to come to? You. They're going to seek you out because you've been praying for them, amen. You've been looking for something to help them with in a way that maybe they've never been helped before. So when a man's ways please the Lord, he says he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. And then we need to please the Lord, not just with our ways, but with our walk. We need to please the Lord with our walk, or with your walk and my walk, our walk. He says in the book of Colossians chapter 1 verse 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Unto all pleasing. One is a man's ways please the Lord. This one is his walk worthy will please the Lord. Unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Being fruitful in everything that we do to please the Lord with everything that we do as a child of God. Regardless of where it's at. Regardless if it's in a grocery store, regardless if it's at the post office, regardless if it's at home, regardless if it's a laundromat, no matter where it's at. I was in a laundromat the other day doing some shirts and clothing up in Conneaut in Ohio, and I walked in and passed her. I went out and I'm watching through the window. I knew it said my washing machine said 30 minutes, so I set a timer on my phone for 30 minutes. Then I went, and there was no air conditioning in there, so I went and set my truck and turned the truck on, turned the air conditioning on. Sat there, almost fell asleep once, amen, waiting for my laundry to get done. And when my laundry was done, I walked back in. I noticed the four or five machines to left me, the lids were all closed. So I go in and get my laundry, and I'm walking with my laundry over to the dryer, and I got this little run of a guy with a long, well, anyway, he looked different, amen. and he looked like he could have been a rough character, but I didn't take it that way. I think he would have scared some old people maybe, but he didn't scare me. But as I'm putting my laundry in the dryer, this guy's walking behind me looking to see what I'm doing. You know, and I load up the dryer, then I go back and get some more laundry because another one quit, and I go back over and start taking laundry out. But now he's walking between me and a table here, and he's just close to me, and he's looking to see what I'm taking out of that washing machine. So I just finally stopped, and I said, "Can I help you, sir?" You know, and he said, "Yeah." He said, "I'm missing laundry." I said, "Well, that's just too bad. I ain't got it. Mine ain't going to fit you, amen." So I just went and put my laundry in the dryer. And then when it was all done, he's watched me take laundry out of my dryer. So I finally turned around and said, "Listen, did you find your laundry?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, this is not it. Go find your own, amen." I don't know if he's trying to rip the laundromat off or what. Then he told me on the way out the door, "I found my laundry." You know, he must have been high or something, not knowing where he put it. Good night, amen. I thought, you know, some people would just do anything they can. But I could have really been snotty with him, really been mean. You know, and I talked to him a little bit afterwards, trying to be kind to him. You know, I sound rougher than what I really was, amen. But I did ask him, "What are you doing?" You know, I wanted to know. And I just get to thinking, but I could have really been snappy and really hard on him, you know. But we got to watch our walk, that we might walk worthy of the Lord into all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of the Lord. We need to please the Lord with our ways. We need to please the Lord with our walk. And we need to please the Lord with our work, as a believer in Jesus Christ. Look with me, if you will, in Hebrews chapter 13. Go back in your Bible to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews in chapter 13 with me. I'll give myself back there. Hebrews 13. Now look with me, if you will, down to verse 20 and 21. The Bible says this, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 and 21. "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever." We need to be pleasing in our work to the Lord. Not just please him in our way, not just please him in our walk, but please him in our work as a believer in Jesus Christ. No matter what we do, it ought to be to please the Lord. You know, you do a lot of things. I worked a job. I didn't like it, Pastor. I worked a job because I had to have a job and had to make money to take care of the family. I did not like the job at all, but I tried never to complain about the job. You know, it was a union shop, and I always tried to do right and act right and behave right, you know, and talk right. And boy, I witnessed some bad. I got a couple of fellows that were saved when I was working there, Pastor, you know. I wanted to be a witness to these guys, you know, when I was in that shop. And I just think we need to, no matter where we're at, to be a witness, to bring glory to God. And it hasn't always been that way since I've been saved. There's been a few times when I lost it, Pastor, when I first got saved, especially, you know. Yeah, I can tell you some stories that you don't need to hear and you don't want to hear, to be honest with you. Amen. Right after I was saved, about my temper. And boy, I tell you, it wouldn't take me long to boil up, you know. And then it would take me longer to boil down, amen, to get on a simmer, you know. And we need to please the Lord with our work. No matter what we do, no matter where we're at, everything got to be pleasing, well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and forever. Boy, that's how Elisha lived his life. Elisha lived his life so that no matter what he did, would always please God. And then what amazed me is that God's power did not end with Elisha's death. God's power continued on after Elisha's death into the grave, and then that man touches his bones and raises up on his feet. Can you imagine that? I don't want to be buried with anybody else, amen. I'm just telling you, don't. I don't even want to be buried with my wife in the same casket, amen. I want to, you know, put me by myself, let me go, you know. I don't want to be laying on somebody else's dead bones later on, you know. I want my own worms to eat me, you know. I don't want hers eating me or somebody else, you know. Just let me go, let me die, let me go to the grave, you know. But here's Elisha. So here's the thought I get out of this. What will be said about you when your life is over? Well, what a testimony Jeannie had. What a testimony that people would still, talking about that, you know. And not talking about her death, they're talking about her life, amen. About what she was and what she did and how she was and the joy that was in her all the time. That's what I remember about her all the time. Always had a smile on her face. No matter how she was feeling, she'd get a smile on her face, you know. I remember last year, I think, when she wasn't doing too good and she couldn't sit through the whole service. She'd get out and she'd look when she was done and said, "That's it, you wicked sinner. Just go ahead and leave," you know. And after, I didn't say that when I was preaching, but I was not just picking on her. And she'd just laugh and laugh and laugh, amen. What a joy. What a joy. You know what? That was well-pleasing to God. And because of that, even after life, her testimony is still going forth in a righteous mannerism, in a holy mannerism, in a correct mannerism. And I'm sure we could all tell stories on each other, but God is well-pleased with how she lived, amen. And I tell you, even at that, now He's blessing her in her death. Or in her going home. Let's say it that way, amen. To be with the Lord. What a blessing that was. What a blessing. We need to please the Lord with our work. And then we need also not just to live to please the Lord, but we need to live so that others will see the Lord. We need to live so that others will see the Lord. You might do a lot of things that please the Lord, but do people see the Lord in your life? Well, you know, when you're a prophet of God, like Elisha was, or like Jeremiah was, or like Ezekiel was, or like Elijah was, or like any of the old prophets, Nahum, or any of them were, you could say, well, they lived and we saw the power of God in their life. But you know what? You're no different. You're a child of God with the Holy Spirit of God in you. What, know you not that you are a temple of the what? Holy Ghost, amen, the Holy Spirit. So if the Holy Spirit is in you, then my friend, don't you have the power of God within you, amen? Absolutely. So you can have the same result because of your Christian life and doing what's right as any Old Testament prophet had. Any Old Testament prophet, because you have the Holy Spirit of God not coming and going, but He's living in you continually. God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, God the Father in your heart continually as a believer in Jesus Christ. Well, what a privilege we have to know the Savior that way, that we can be so close to Him as a child of God. Live so that others will see the Lord. Well, I've got number one here. You can write this down. A. Don't let your battery run down. What do you mean by that, Brother Mike? Well, he says in Matthew chapter 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your what? Father, which is where? In heaven. So let your light shine. Don't let your battery run down. Don't let it go out. Amen. Too many Christians, I think, sometimes, Pastor, they get out of the Word, they get out of the church, they get out of prayer, they get away from other born again believers. And it's not very long before you see them. It's not very long, and their battery is not up where it should be, and their light is not shining like it ought to be shining. Amen. And we need to, don't let your battery run down. Hey, be like the Energizer Bunny. Amen. I had a friend that was preaching one time, and he was talking about how he was going to get the message started. He said, "I won't be as long as some up here tonight when they preach." And he took off his jacket, and he turned around like this, laid his jacket on a chair. On his back, he had a little sign that looked like a battery. He said, "Ever ready, Connor?" You know, so we knew that he was not going only for 15 minutes. Amen. That was going to be an hour message at least. Amen. "Ever ready," he said on the back of that. Let your light so shine before men. You know where you get your power? God. And when you're not spending time with God, guess what you're going to lack? Power from God as a believer in Jesus Christ. We need as the children of God to stay charged up. We need it, man. I don't know about you, but I need it. I like to get up in the morning. First thing I like to do before I read my Bible, Pastor, is pray. Amen. And then I like to get my cup of coffee. Then I like to read my Bible. Amen. Pray, get coffee, read my Bible. And sometimes I'll say, "I got to have coffee, man." I'll get my coffee, then I'll pray, or I'll fall asleep if I don't. I'm just simply saying, we need to take time We need to charge our batteries up continually. Every day as a believer in Jesus Christ, we need to be in the Word, in prayer to God. And not just in prayer in the morning for 5 minutes or 4 minutes or 3 minutes or 15 minutes or 20 minutes, but prayer throughout the whole day. Have you ever prayed when you're going down the road? I have, amen. I try not to close my eyes. When I start praying, I have a tendency to go to sleep. I'm just simply saying that we need to be in an attitude of prayer. Pray without what? Ceasing. Pray without ceasing. That's what he tells you. And everything giving thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's the very next verse. The verse before is rejoice evermore. Amen. But we ought to take time in prayer as believers in Jesus Christ. Take time in His Word. Don't let your battery run down. Number two underneath that, put on the armor of light. Put on the armor. Look at, with me back to Romans. Go back to the book of Romans for a minute. Now look at Romans in chapter 13. Romans in chapter 13. Number one, let your light shine. Don't let your battery run down. Number two, put on the armor of light. Romans in chapter 13, beginning in verse 11, he says this. He says, and that knowing the time that now it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is your salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk. What's the armor light? Let us walk honestly and in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Don't make provision for the flesh for the lust thereof. Listen, what's that mean? That means, listen, for a born again believer, it's easy. Here's what character is. Character is not what you will do when somebody else is with you. Character is what you do when no one else is there. Amen. So we then, as Christians, as born-again believers, we need not to provide for the flesh. What will you do when nobody else is in the room? What will you do when nobody else is home? What will you watch? What will you see? What will you look at? What will you read? What will your mental state be when nobody else is around? Where are you at as a believer in Jesus Christ? And I tell you what, too many born-again believers today are making provision for the flesh rather than staying close to God. Never been tempted? I got my hand up, amen. You know, when you get tempted, you know what you need to do? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. They are weak, but what? He is strong. Amen. We just need to say, get a song in your heart, amen. Get a song in your heart. Put a song in it. It will help you to get you back where you need to be. Put on the armor of light. The armor of light will keep you where you ought to be. The armor of light is something that is shining. You ever see armor that was dull? I know they had, you know, back in the days they had what they called the Black Knight, Brother Dave, amen. They dressed with black armor, but most of those knights had shining armor on. Can you imagine them coming at you on horseback and the sun shining in your shining from behind them, behind you, onto them? Would that blind you, amen? And our light ought to be blinding to the world. It ought to be in such a mannerism that they know that we're here, that they know that we're coming, that they know we can't be getting rid of, amen, or gotten rid of, or get rid of us, however you want to say it, amen. I never did learn English much, buddy, amen. Would you teach me a class? He probably ruined it for me. Amen. Put on the armor of light. Don't let your battery run dead. And put on the armor of light. Be a shining armor for Jesus Christ. And then let your light shine brighter and brighter. Man, it ought to be shining brighter and brighter. Or in the book of Proverbs, you write this down, chapter 4, verse 18. And live so others will see the Lord. Don't let your battery run dead. Don't, but put on the armor of light. And then let your light shine brighter and brighter. Watch what he said over in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Your light ought to be shining more today than it was yesterday. And it'll be shining more tomorrow than it was today. Amen. You know, I know we go through heartaches and hard times. Amen. We do, don't we? We do, brother. Amen. But boy, let's not let that rob us of joy. Let's not let that rob us of peace. Let's not let that rob us of the happiness that God wants us to have in our heart as a believer in Jesus Christ. Well, I understand. And it's rough sometimes. It's hard sometimes. Amen. It's easy to get... Hey, listen, just because you're a born-again believer doesn't mean you're not going to go through trouble. Does not mean you're not going to go through heartaches. It does not even mean you're not going to get depressed, Pastor. It doesn't even mean you're not going to fear. I don't like snakes, brother. A snake run across in front of me, I'm jumping and screaming like a little girl. Amen. I don't care how big it is. It could be that long. And I don't want a snake near me. If it's a little one, I'm going to stomp his head in. Amen. If it's a big one, I'm booking it, amen. If it's a rattler, I'm just going to fall down and play dead before it bites me, hallelujah. But I'm just saying, let your light shine. Don't let the world take it away from you, my friend. Let your light shine brighter and brighter and brighter every day. Some of us don't need no incandescent bulb. We need a new bulbs they call out there now. Halogen, amen. A bright halogen, man. We need a good bulb, amen. And we need some good batteries. Maybe go from a AA to a CCC or something, amen. Get that light burning again. Get the Word of God. Let Him help you. Live so others will see the Lord. And then I wrote down, lastly, Elijah, what a testimony. What a testimony. Even in life, he helped people. In life, he spared life. And in death, he spared life. In death, he brought a man back from the dead. Without even saying raise, without falling on him, without doing anything else, they fell on him. And the man stood up. The man stood up. Well, what a blessing. And I wrote down, live so that others would want the Lord. Live so others would want the Lord. Number one, be ready to give an answer. Amen? Be ready to give an answer. But the Bible said in 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. I had a friend years ago that I witnessed to over and over and over and over. And he told somebody one day, if I ever go into a church, he always said the church will fall down if I go in, amen. And he was married and he went to church when he was dead, but he died at the age of 52. But when he passed away, the church didn't fall down when they wheeled his body in. Amen. And I always told him, it ain't going to fall down when you get wheeled in. But he told somebody one time, if I ever go to hear anybody preach, it'll be Mike. Him and I grew up together. He was my best friend as a teenager. And I lived with him and his mom when I got out of prison the first time. They put me up, let me live in a house, gave me a room to live in, and fed me and took care of me while I was working and helped to pay there a little bit. Help me out greatly. Loved them to death. Shared the gospel with them over and over and over again. He said, but I only go and hear Mike because I know that he's always told me the truth. Now, he saw a change in me. Debbie, I'm glad. Listen, I'm glad he didn't see me 100% of the time. I'm glad he didn't see me when I blew it. Amen. I'm glad he didn't see me when I messed up. I'm glad he didn't see me when I was going in the wrong direction. I'm glad. I'm glad he only saw me because we were not together very much. And when he saw me, I was giving him the gospel. Amen. So he said, if I go to hear anybody, preach the gospel. He never did come. I preached in that area many, 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 many times. But he got saved 1 week before he died. Another fellow threw a letter. Well, another fellow told him about it. That guy went on vacation. That guy had been working with him. And 1 week before he died, Roger prayed and asked Christ to forgive him for his sin. When the guy came back from vacation, he told Roger, he said, I did what you said. I did that thing you said. He said, what thing are you talking about? He said, you know that thing where you confess your sin and get saved? He said, I did that last week while you were gone. He said, really? He said, yes, I did. They found him one morning laying in the middle of, about 2 o'clock in the morning, laying in the middle of a road. And he had a .22 in his hand. He'd been walking his fence line because somebody had been messing with his horses. He had a little horse ranch in Ohio. Somebody had been messing with his horses. And they thought, because of what it looked like, that he shot himself up through underneath his chin. But they found out that wasn't true. He died from a massive heart attack. when he went down, a stone drove up into his chin and the gun was laying beside him. He did not commit suicide, amen. I tell you what, you know where he's at today? He's with the Lord. We need to be ready to give an answer. Tell people about Jesus Christ. Live in a mannerism that's consistent with the very Word of God. Be ready to give that answer. And then the second thought under that is don't answer stupid questions. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Go with me to 2 Timothy. Don't answer stupid questions. Leave stupid questions for stupid people. Amen. But don't get in this thing of arguing about every little thing. You know, you go up. I know a guy. You know, he says, "Who are you going to vote for?" I said, "Really, ain't none of your business." But I'm a Trump supporter. Amen. Now you might not be, but I am. I think people here are. Amen. But he, you know, I told you I am. And but he wouldn't argue about that. You know, fell in our own home church, you know, and wants to argue about that stuff. He said, "Well, you believe yada yada." So what? So you're going to vote for an abortionist? You're going to vote for someone who wants to take your liberty away and your Bible away? You're going to vote for somebody who stands against your freedom as a born again believer? That's who you want to vote for? You got mad at me, amen. But I want to argue. I just tell them, you know, if they're going to be stupid to me, I'm going to answer with some stupid thoughts, amen. And those are good thoughts. They ain't stupid thoughts, but I'm going to, you know, I'm just simply saying. Be ready to give an answer, but don't answer stupid questions. Look what he says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and go with me down to verse 19. Watch what he says. He said, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." And then he says, "But in a great house are not only vessels of gold and of silver and of wood, but of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them to call upon thou, Lord, of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions." What's he say? What's the next word? Avoid. Foolish and unlearned questions. Avoid. Knowing that they do gender strikes. So, for instance, maybe somebody, I had a guy one time that was said he was a Baptist pastor, you know, and claims to be a Baptist today. And as soon as he found out that that I would not preach for someone that was not Baptist or Baptistic where we stand, and King James, he started grilling me. You know, and he made this statement to me. He says, "What do you believe about baptism?" I said, "Well, you're dunked one time." He says, "You would reject someone that's been dunked three times?" I said, "I'd rebaptize them." "Oh, you're foolish," you know. And then he says, "I suppose you're one of them guys that believe that the blood of Jesus Christ comes from the blood of God." I said, "Absolutely." He said, "Oh, that's foolish." "Well, you need to read your Bible, man. You need to study scriptures, amen." You know, but I'm not, you know, they asked one, how many angels could dance on that? You know how many times I've heard this one? How many angels could dance on the head of a pin? Who gives a rip? Gospel's not in that, amen? Could God, Pastor, could God ever make a rock so heavy that he could not lift it? You know, you want to do, wake up, man. Get life. Being a jerk, amen. Maybe I shouldn't have said jerk over the video. Pretty soon they're going to be arresting you for that. Well, he was a jerk, amen. What can I say? He says here, watch. "But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife." That the word strife there comes from that word strive. It means this. It means to battle. You know what battle means to me? It means put them up. It means a fight. It means fighting. It means striving against. It literally has a connotation of meaning to destroy or to tear down, but not to build up. So he says, don't do it. Don't entertain stupid questions. If somebody asks you a stupid question, say, "Well, I'll find a stupid person to answer that for you." No, don't say that. They're going to make them mad at you then. Amen. They say, "Oh man, I don't get into that stuff," and just let them go. Just, you know, they're not going to listen to you anyway. All they want to do is argue. They don't want to listen to what you have to say. Hello. That's all right, brother. At least it's yours. Not mine. And look with me, if you will. Not only live so others will want the Lord and be ready to give an answer and don't answer stupid questions, but live your answer. Look with me here again in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Now you need to live your answer. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive. There's that word again. Must not. That means not to be a fighter, not to be angry, not to be bitter in that mannerism. But watch what he says. But be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. Now listen, let me just stop there. Now, I don't know. It's hard for me to be a gentle individual. I get where I've had enough of things, you know. And I shoot off my mouth and I speak out, and I'm not afraid to say it. I'm not afraid to say it on Facebook. I'm not afraid to say it on the internet. I'm not afraid to say it anywhere. If it's wrong, it's wrong. If it's right, it's right. Amen. It's just how I am, and it's going to get me in trouble someday. I understand that. Amen. I'm not going to do it just to get a reaction, get somebody mad at me. But I'm not going to shut up. I don't ever plan on shutting up. Amen. Yeah, you might not believe this about me. Well, I don't believe about me either. So just forget it. Like I say, I used to be a little bit shy, but you wouldn't believe that anyway, so why not even tell you that, amen? Live your answer. Watch what he says here in verse 24 again. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. He didn't say just to the saved. All men. We ought to be gentle to all men. Apt to. And by the way, being gentle to all men doesn't mean that you ain't got a backbone. Amen. Doesn't mean you're not strong. Doesn't mean you're not a man. Doesn't mean you're not a man's man. It means you're just a gentle individual. I'm sure my wife would like me to be more gentle sometimes. What'd you say, woman? No, I'm just kidding. Amen. Or Bev would like pastor to be gentle sometimes. Get on the back of that bike. No, just kidding. Amen. Apt to teach, patient. Well, this ought to be all of us. Apt to teach. When somebody has a question, we ought to be able to come to the Word of God and answer it. Amen. But then he goes on to say, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, those who completely are contrary to what we believe, and they're opposing. In fact, the answers they're giving really don't make sense to them either, but they're giving them, you know why most of the time, Brother Dave? They heard from somebody else. Where do most of your students get what they say? They hear it on TV or somewhere else, you know. They sure don't hear from the instructor, or they'd be able to answer the question of what you asked them, amen. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by his will. He's destroying the world. He's good at what he does. He's got a pattern of how he's going to do it. He's got a plan of how he's going to do it. But God has a purpose, and what's not going to happen in the end, he's going to destroy him. Amen. Live your answer before man. Be gentle as a born-again believer in meekness and instructing even those that oppose themselves. And don't strive as a child of God, but be apt and gentle and apt to teach and be patient to all men as a child of God. Boy, God has a plan and a purpose for you, and he has a plan and a purpose for me. And Elijah and his life follow God's plan. Elijah and his life follow God's purpose. Amen. Elijah accomplished what God had planned for Elijah to do. And then God honors him even in death. When he's dead, a dead man touches him, his bones, and raises up in that grave. Could you imagine what that would have done to the other guys? I'm sure some thought he wasn't dead. I guarantee you this. If that man was dead, he was dead. And when that man was dead, he knew right where he was at. Amen. That was before Christ. Maybe he was in paradise. Amen. I would have a tendency to think so, because I don't think God's going to raise somebody out of the pits of hell, put them back on their feet. But this man, I can just hear what he's saying and describing paradise to these, and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. He's describing these guys who went on before them. And Moses, amen. Well, Moses could be in glory at that time, because the devil disputed over the body of Moses. Where was his soul? Amen. I have a feeling maybe he's already in heaven. But he didn't see Elijah there because he's already up in glory. Amen. Well, I tell you what, God honored Elisha even in death. Well, let's make our life count for something. Let's let it count for something. Amen. Let us count for righteousness and holiness and purity and godliness. Let's strive not to be with stupid questions and individuals who hate us, but let's strive to be what God would have us to be. Let's fight the other direction. Fight the good fight of faith. Let's fight the good fight as a child of God. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Two questions tonight again. And I don't know, sometimes I see people walking up and down the street, Pastor, and I think sometimes I see somebody standing out there by the truck run, trying to stay out of the view of everything when it's being going on. But I'd just like to say, if there's somebody in earshot of this message, Facebook or anywhere, and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, He is the only one that can help you live the right life. He's the only one that can help you be the right example. He's the only one that can save you from eternal damnation. He's the only one. Jesus is it. He is it. He shed His blood on the cross of Calvary for you and died there that you might be able to have eternal life. You just need to trust Him as your Savior. Now, probably everybody in this room here tonight knows Christ, but I'm going to ask you this. If you don't know Him, could I pray for you? Anybody like that right now, just step up your hand and say, I'm not sure. Just not sure. Could you pray for me, Brother Mike? Anybody at all? I don't see any hands. Second question is this. Brother Mike, the Lord spoke to my heart tonight. There was something God touched my heart about. Would you just pray for me? How about right now? Slip up your hands. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. Amen. I'm going to step down. I'm going to turn over to the pastor. I'm going to pray. And I'm going to step down, turn over to the pastor. And at that time, I want you to come up to the altar. Take care of that between you and the Lord. Father, thank you for your precious word. Thank you tonight, Father, for what you've done. That you've had all the honor and the glory, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, help us now. Amen. Let's stand with our head bowed, eyes closed. Lord, spoke to your heart. Slip out. You come. You raised your hand. You ought to slip out. You ought to come. Come on.
In fact, I take the liberty here to combine last night's message and tonight's message again. Take a stand by all means. Boy, make it count again. Boy, there's a lot of Christians fighting over a lot of stupid things right now. And again, we need to keep the main thing, the main thing. Appreciate that message. That's good. Live to please God. Live so others see the Lord. And then live so others want the Lord. Appreciate that very much. And let me combine again a little bit. Said last night also, I think it was last night, but a lifestyle evangelism ain't going to cut it, okay? You need to open your mouth, praise the Lord, and let people know why you're a little bit different. And let's take every opportunity with those messages. Father, praise you and thank you. Thank you that we could gather in the Lord's name tonight. Thank you for what we've seen and heard here tonight. Pray that you tug on hearts anew and afresh through our revival services. Go with us now. Bring us back at the appointed time. We'll give you all the praise in the name of Christ. Amen. Lord bless you tonight.